Today we begin a new journey together, a journey through perhaps one of the greatest books and deepest books of the New Testament, the book of Romans, a book that is real powerful and deep in its meaning. And I've entitled our series, Being Right in a World Gone Wrong. Because our world, as we look around us, our world seems to be heading and is heading in the wrong direction. And how can we be right in the midst of all this going on around us? God's word has a lot to say, and especially the book of Romans, on how to be right in our relationship with him and how to be right in our relationship with others that he brings into our lives as well. We're going to be discovering that and a lot more as we journey together through this book. But before we get into looking at the first several verses that Jim read for us this morning, it's really the introduction, Paul's introduction to this letter, and that's really what it is. It's a letter he wrote to the church at Rome. We want to do a little bit of background so we understand a little bit about this book of Romans that we're ready to study together. So understand its theme and purpose. So before I say a little bit of the background of why Paul wrote this. As Jim read, it was written, verse 7, it was written to the church in Rome. The church that was established there in Rome, which was the capital of the Roman Empire. It'd be like having the major church in Washington, D.C., the National Cathedral. But it was the church that was in the capital city of Rome. And because of that, it had some prominence because it was in the capital center of the empire. But even in those days, Christianity was illegal. But how was this church founded? Unlike Ephesus and Corinth and many of the other letters that we read in the New Testament, they were founded by Paul. And Galatians were founded, many of those churches were founded by Paul himself. But unlike those churches, the Church of Rome was not founded by Paul, Peter, or any other apostle. Despite what our Catholic friends tell us, the Church of Rome was not founded by Peter. He was not the first pope there. But the Church of Rome is still in existence today. The Roman Church still is there, but it was not founded by Paul, Peter, or any other apostle, which makes it unique. And you say, well, if it wasn't founded by an apostle, who started the church at Rome then? What's believed to have been founded by Jewish believers who were in Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost. If you read in Acts chapter 2, verse 10, we read that on the day of Pentecost, on that feast, many believers from all around the Roman Empire were there. And it says there were people from Rome at that celebration. And they heard Peter preach. And they were saved and they went back to Rome and they established a church. It was a church that was established by lay people. It was not established or founded by any pastor. That's going to come into the purpose of why Paul was going to write this letter to them and why it's so deep with doctrine, to help them understand that. That's a little bit about the Church of Rome itself. When was this letter written? Well, it was written by Paul from Corinth in between 56 and 58 AD as Paul was completing his third missionary journey. And it was just as Paul was getting ready to go to Jerusalem to deliver the gifts from the Gentile churches that Macedonia and Achaia had gathered for the Christians. If you may remember reading from the book of Acts, the Christians in Jerusalem were suffering a famine. And so the Gentile believers had collected an offering, a love gift to send to them. And Paul was going to take that love gift to the Jerusalem church. Then he had hoped to go on to Rome from there. And so it's just before he was ready to deliver those gifts to Jerusalem, he wrote this letter to the church at Rome while he was staying in Corinth, somewhere in those years. Why did he write this book? And why did the Holy Spirit inspire Paul to include this treasure of the Word of God for us? What was his purpose? Well, it's to present a clear understanding of the gospel. The book of Romans is very theological, but yet it's going to be very practical. And to give a clear understanding of the gospel and Christian doctrine and faith, because this church was founded by lay people and not by an apostle, no one had given them any apostolic teaching. So Paul was going to write to inform them and give them teaching that was apostolic and biblical so they would understand what the gospel is all about. and was also for Paul to introduce himself to the Roman church in preparation for a visit there. Paul was hoping to come to Rome. His plan was able, after he had delivered those gifts to Jerusalem, his plan was to go back through Rome on his way to Spain on another missionary journey. But we're going to see next week that those plans were changed by God. But Paul was preparing for a trip there, so he wanted to introduce himself to the people in Rome. A little bit about the founding. The theme of Romans is the righteousness of God. That's why I entitled this Being Right in a World Gone Wrong, because it's all about God's righteousness and how we receive that in our life and how we live out that righteousness and how God has provided that righteousness through Christ. The key verse is found here. The righteous shall live by faith. It's verse 17 of chapter 1. In the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, just as it's written, the just or the righteous shall live by faith. And that's the key verse to understanding what Romans is all about. If we get that one verse, we're understanding that we're made right, we're made just before God by faith alone, not by works, not by anything else, but by simple faith and trust in what Jesus has done for us. So the outline of Romans I provided for you. And in your bulletin this morning, it gives you an overview. I have this for you as we go along through this book, and we're going to be weeks in this book because it's very deep. And this gives us an outline of what's ahead. And as you can see, the theme, the righteousness of God, the just shall live by faith. Romans falls into five main divisions after the introduction. The first one talks about righteousness being demanded because all of us stand guilty before God. We all are sinners. It moves into salvation and justification, that God provided a way that we can be made right because we need righteousness. And that's righteousness declared righteous through faith and justified in Christ. Then it moves on to sanctification, how we develop and grow in our righteousness and faith. Then it moves on to God's sovereignty, how Israel declined the righteousness of God and how they rejected God's plan and what's up for Israel today. Then it moves on to service, how we live out. Our right doctrine, right belief leads to right living and how we live out our faith in the world around us and in our society. So that gives you a general overview of the book of Romans as we go through it. Romans has had a great influence, perhaps no other book, and especially of all that were written by the Apostle Paul. This one has had more influence than any other. And God has used this book in some powerful ways. Without a question, it's the greatest theological work that Paul wrote. And it's often been called the Christian Manifesto or the Cathedral of the Christian Faith. But its influence continues to not only reach us, but it reached many people. And the world has been changed and impacted because of the writing that God inspired Paul to write in this book. I want to give you three examples. In 386 AD, there was a man by the name of Aurelius Augustine. He was a professor. He was from North Africa, and he was a professor in Italy, in Milan, Italy. And he lived a life of immorality, and he did not have peace with God at all. And one afternoon, he was sitting in his garden weeping because he was just overwhelmed with the tragedy of his sin and how unworthy he felt. And he heard this child singing Tolle Ligi, Tolle Ligi. Thought, what is that? It's a song he had never heard before, but in Italian, it simply means take up and read. In Latin, it means take up and read, take up and read. So he saw a scroll of the Bible there, and he opened it up, and guess where he opened it up to? The book of Romans. And he read in the book of Romans, chapter 13, verses 13 through 14, which said, let us behave properly as in the day, not carousing in drunkenness or in sexual promiscuity or sensuality, not in strife or jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus and make no provision for the flesh. When he read that, he was convicted and he put his faith and trust in the Lord and his life was changed. And Augustine became one of the greatest theologians in the history of the church. And the Lord used him to codify a lot of our theology of what we as believers, Christians believe. He became the leading theologian in the church for over 1,000 years. And his impact still continues, but it was the book of Romans that he read that changed his life. Come ahead about another 1,000 years in time. We get to the year 1517. Another man by the name of Martin Luther, he was a priest in the Church of Rome. He was an Augustinian monk from Augustine's order, actually. And he studied the scripture, did not have peace with God. He was a priest in the Catholic Church, but did not feel that things were right. And he did not have that relationship with God because he was caught up in the works and trying to do all that he could works-wise to have peace. And he studied the scriptures as he was teaching them, and he came to Romans chapter 1, verse 17, the key verse, where it says, "The just shall live by faith." And he realized, it's faith that I'm made right with God, not anything else. And he would put his faith and trust in Christ, and he was saved, and the Protestant Reformation was born. And life was, and the difference in the world, because, again, of the power and the influence of the book of Romans on his life. And what happened is he read those words, "The just shall live by faith." 200 years later, well, he wrote, it was that scripture, "For the righteousness of God revealed by faith to faith." 200 years later, another man by the name of John Wesley was a preacher in the Church of England, had come to the United States, to Germany, in a mission trip to the Indians, and it failed. And he was serving as an Anglican priest in the church and the pastor, but again, trying to get caught up in all the works thing, and did not feel right. He did not have inner peace in his heart at all. And he said, "There's something missing." And he attended a prayer meeting on a Wednesday night in May 24th in 1738. As he attended this prayer meeting at Aldersgate Street in London, he heard a man reading from, guess what? Martin Luther's commentary on the book of Romans. And he heard somebody reading Martin Luther's commentary in the book of Romans about verse 17, about the just shall live by faith. And he said he realized his heart was strangely warmed, and he put his faith and trust in the Lord, and the Wesleyan revivals were born, and the evangelical movement was born out of that. And we're here today as a result of that and what God had done in the heart through the power of the book of Romans, God working in the lives of men through history. So its influence has power. And as we go through this book together, the power it has in our life to change us, its influence is still being felt. So this morning, we want to look at the introduction, the first 7 verses, as Paul begins to introduce himself to the church at Rome and make the case for who he is and what he's done. And we discover together, we're going to discover several things about Paul as he presents his credentials as the man of God writing to the church, 4 things that we can apply to our life from Paul's life as we learn in this introduction. The first is Paul's master. Paul introducing himself to the church, he says, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ." And we learn that Paul's master is the same master that we are called to be as we are seeking to live rightfully in God's time now. And Paul's master was Christ. He devoted himself to the Lord. In fact, he called himself a bond servant or a bond slave, someone who willingly submits themselves under the authority of a master. And as we begin this journey together, being in that right relationship with God begins there. That we bind ourselves to Christ as a bondservant, as a slave to him, that he becomes our master. He becomes our Lord. That's where the journey starts. His master, our master, is that of Christ. Now, we had slavery in our country, but we don't fully understand. But slavery was common in the days of the Roman Empire. There was very common practice, but we're removed from that. We don't really understand. Even in our country, it's been abolished over 150 years, and we don't fully understand what slavery meant. But a slave, in Paul's time, is a person who was totally owned by his master. And when Paul called himself a slave, this is what he was talking about, somebody who was totally owned by by his master, meaning he had no rights other than what the master had given to him. And that's how you and I are to be with Jesus, that we are owned by him because we are bought by a price, a very high price. And what did Jesus pay for to own us? His blood, his very own life. And bought at a very high price, we're owned to him. All the rights that we have, all that we have comes directly from our master. Our life belongs to his, to him. It's not ours, it's his. We need to live our life out that way. A slave also exists solely for his master. That's what the purpose of a slave is, to serve his master, to do his master's bidding. And as believers, our life being a slave to Jesus, we exist for him. We exist for his glory, to do his will, not ours, to fulfill what he wants, not our will. And a slave's will exclusively belongs to his master. A slave was bound to whatever his master commanded him to do, he was to do. He had to submit his will to his master's. And it's the same with us as a slave of Christ, that we are to submit our will to his, as he speaks through us, leads us by the Spirit. So Paul's master was a slave, a servant of Jesus Christ. That's where our journey begins, that our master is that we are a slave, bond slave to Christ. But second thing we discover is Paul's mandate. Paul said, "Sir, a servant of Christ Jesus called to be an apostle." Paul's mandate in his life, as he wrote to the Romans, and the same as ours, was to fulfill God's calling in his life. Paul lived his life, his mandate was to fulfill the calling of God for him. You and I have that same mandate, that God's called us to fulfill his calling in your life and his calling in mine. You say, But Dan, what is that? What's the calling of God? Well, Paul spills it out for us. And we can read over these words and we can miss the impact of what the calling is, but we're first called to be. Notice what he says, called to be an apostle. And I believe, and I'm sure, and I know you do too, I'm sure, that every single word of Scripture is inspired by God. And every single word is important. And sometimes we can skip over them, but we're called to be first. That means we're called to Christ. We're called to grow in our relationship with him. We're called to sit in his presence. We're called to become more like him. We're called to be like Jesus. You agree with that? And that's where the journey begins. And that's the fulfilling of Christ. Paul said, before I'm an apostle, I'm called to be. In fact, go on to verse 7. Paul said, to you in Rome who are called to be saints. That calling of being in the presence of Jesus. If you would turn in Mark chapter 3, verses 13 to 14, it says that Jesus was calling his disciples, and it says he called those he wanted to come to him, his 12. And it said he called them first that they would be with him, and then he sent them out. And the disciples first were called to be with Jesus for 3 years, as they spent 3 years eating with Jesus, sleeping with Jesus, walking with him, living with him, and 3 years of intense being with Christ before he sent them out to fulfill their work of what they were to do. So often we get that mixed up, and we start doing things for Christ, and we don't take the time just being in his presence. We can fall guilty with that, can't we? Paul's mandate was to fulfill the calling of Christ, be with him, to be like him. And then it's called to go, called to be an apostle. That word apostle means sent one that is sent out. And Paul's calling for the Lord's calling for him was to be sent out as an ambassador, as an apostle for Jesus, a representative for him. We too, an ambassador is a person who is sent from one country into another country to represent his native country. And we are sent into a foreign country, the world, because we're representatives. We belong to another kingdom. Our kingdom is where? In heaven, And we are citizens of that kingdom. So God has left us in this world to be an ambassador, a representative of that kingdom to this world's kingdom, that they would see Jesus in us. So that's part of our calling, is to be that ambassador in our world, being sent so that people would see Jesus in you and me. So Paul's mission, Paul's master was a slave of Christ. His mandate was to fulfill his calling. Third, Paul's mission. We see Paul's mission in the last part of verse 3, called a servant, called to be an apostle, and set apart for the gospel. Paul's mission was to be set apart for Christ. That word set apart or sanctified, we're going to be seeing that later on. We're going to be talking a lot more about that. But being distinct and set apart for Jesus, set apart from the world and set unto him for his use, set apart for God's use, for the gospel of Christ. That Paul was going to be a missionary to take the message of the gospel to the world, but he sets us apart as well for his use and for his glory. Verse 7 says that called to be saints, that the glory of God would go to him. That's being set apart. And that's part of our mission. And we're going to be learning as we go through the book of Romans together, what it means to be set apart for God, for his use, for his glory, and called to be saints. And notice that word saint means that's who you and I are. When we are right with God, we are saint. We are holy. We are declared holy in him. We're going to be learning what that means in Romans. And saints aren't certain people that have acquired a certain status and are elevated to a certain position. Some people say, no, if you are saved, you are a saint. You are holy. You are declared holy and righteous. And you are in that right relationship with God. And that's who you are. And we're going to be learning that as we go through this book of Romans together. And Paul's message, as we see his credentials, his message was simply that of the gospel. He said, set apart for the gospel which he promised beforehand through his prophets and his holy scriptures. You may say, but we use that word gospel and we talk about because we're a gospel preaching church, and that was what Paul proclaimed, the message of the gospel. But what is it? The gospel was the gospel of God. The message that Jesus came, that he died on the cross, and did he stay dead? No, but he rose again. And by trusting in what he's done for us, we can be right with him. And it's that simple. And that's the message of the gospel. Notice he said, this gospel was promised beforehand through the scriptures in the Old Testament. The Old Testament prophets told about the coming of Jesus, that there was going to be a day that God was going to send the Redeemer to redeem of sin and to bring deliverance. The Israelites couldn't understand it. It was kind of veiled from them. But it was told in the old scripture that the Messiah was coming. But in these days, it was regarded who through Jesus, who went through the human nature, was a descendant of David through his physical side. His human side, he was of the line of David. We saw that at Christmas. But he was also, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the Son of God. And the resurrection of the dead proclaimed who he is and who he's come to do. It's the gospel of God that salvation comes through Jesus Christ and him only. There's no other way to be made right with God. It comes through Christ. That was Paul's message. The gospel of God and the gospel of grace. That at the core of the fact of why God sent his son to give his life on the cross for us, at the core of that message is the love and grace of Christ. Because God demonstrated his love for us, we'll see in Romans 5:10 says that God demonstrated his love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. Because God loved, he gave. That's the core. Notice at verses 5-6, he says, through him and for his name's sake, we receive grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus. Again, seeing that call to belong, call to be tied to Christ. But the gospel of grace that God has bestowed through his love, it was his love that was behind him sending Jesus to come for us. That was the motivation that led Jesus to leave heaven and to come for you and me. This kind of love is illustrated by an old story from France. It seems that there was a young Frenchman who was loved very deeply by his mother. His mother loved him immensely. However, when this young man reached adulthood, he fell in love with a very wicked woman who was able to gain his total devotion. She had control and power over him. When the young man's mother tried to turn her son away from this wicked, ungodly relationship, the young woman became extremely angry. And she told him that if he really loved her, he would prove it by going to his mother's house, killing her, and returning with her heart to prove that he had done the deed. This young man resisted, but his girlfriend continued to pressure him until one night, in a drunken stupor, he went to his mother's house. He killed her, he cut out her heart, and he returned to his girlfriend's house. As he entered the door, he stumbled and he fell to the floor. And when he did, the heart is said to have cried out, "Son, are you hurt?" That's what God's love is for us. We are the ones that nailed him to the cross. He was the one, he died for us. But yet from the cross, he says, "But are you hurt? I love you. I gave my life for you." Even though we sinned and hurt against him. That's the gospel and the message of grace. That's how we are right in a world gone wrong. And is that only that hope of Christ that can restore things and make things right again? The righteousness of God discovered through and displayed for us through Christ. Called to be with him. Our mission and our mandate and our calling. Our master is Jesus. We are his slave. Our mandate to fulfill his calling in our life. Our mission to be set apart for his use and glory. And our message is the gospel of the love and the grace of Christ who died for us. The power of this book continues and will continue to speak to all of us and change us that we too can learn how to be right in our relationship with him first of all, then our relationship with those in our lives as we live up with them every day. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this book and this power of your word. And the lives have been changed through the power of what you inspired Paul to write. First, his dramatic conversion of how you met him on the road to Damascus and how his life was dramatically changed and how he saw through the grace of God your love for him. But then how you inspired him and used him and learning that, Lord, that we are made right. We are made just in your sight, not by what we do, but by our faith in what you've done for us. You've done it all. And it's because of your love that you did. And you provided that way that all who will can be made right with you and can be restored and all that brokenness can be taken away and we can know that we are just before you, just as if we have never sinned and we are declared righteous in your sight by faith. And Father, we thank you for that, not by works. And Lord, you are our master. We are called to be a slave, a bond servant to you. Our life belongs to you because you bought us. And our life, our will is tied up in yours. Our mandate, Lord, is to fulfill your calling in our life to be with you, to be your representatives in your world, to be set apart for your use and glory. And the message you've given us, Lord, is the simple truth of your love for a world that needs you. And so, Father, speak to us through this book and help us to apply what we learn and encourage us, Lord, by its truth and change us that we too may live in righteousness, faithfully following you each day. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.